Luke chapter 4, if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen behind me. It's the same passage of scripture that we read last week if you were here. Speaking of Jesus, it says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, as we talked about last week, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of I want to see. I want to see. Let's pray. Father, God, we ask in the next few moments that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything you want to communicate to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. As I said last week, we were talking about the fact that Jesus came to proclaim freedom for prisoners. But you see, we have to lay claim to what Jesus came to proclaim over our life. You will never walk in freedom until you lay claim to the freedom that Jesus came for you to walk in. And we do that simply by, first of all, believing in Jesus. Secondly, we receive through Jesus. And thirdly, we have to cleave to Jesus or cling to Jesus every day of our life. And it's important that we understand that Jesus didn't come just to set you free one day, but he came so that you could walk in freedom all the days of your life. But Jesus did not come just to set you free. Jesus came so that you could see, so that your blind eyes could be open. You know, it's a terrible feeling when you can't see something that's right there in front of you. I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but maybe you're talking on your cell phone and you're walking frantically around your house looking for your cell phone. I don't know if you've ever had that experience before, but you're looking in every place that you normally put it and it's nowhere, and then you have the moment when you realize, oh, I'm talking on the phone. Or maybe you're looking for your glasses and you're looking everywhere only to find out that your glasses are on your head. They're right there in front of you, but yet you just can't see it. Or maybe there's a problem in your business and, man, you have spent days or weeks thinking about what you can do and it almost seems like it's hopeless, like there is no answer. And then you have that moment, that aha moment, that light bulb moment where the light bulb goes off and you think, that is the answer. And then always following the aha moment is, why have I not thought of that before? Why did I not realize that was the answer? And you see, there's a reason that the light bulb is associated with the aha moment. Because before that moment, you were perplexed. You were confused. Before that moment, you were stressed out. Before that moment, you were blind. But the moment of aha, the light bulb goes off, and now you see. You get to see the answer because the light bulb has gone off. And we see in the scripture that Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. Jesus is the light bulb in all of our lives. In John 8, verse 12, it says this, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said this, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." You see, there is no abundant life if you're bound, but there's also no abundant life if you're blind. The only way that you can walk into the abundant life that Jesus wants you to have is when you're walking according to the light that he brings into your life. Jesus says it this way in John 12, verse 46. He says, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Jesus has come to shine his light into the darkness so that we would no longer have to live in the dark. The Bible says in John chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it." That Jesus stepped into the world as the light of God, as the light of the world, and he shined into the light, and darkness has not found any way to overcome it. Darkness has found no way to trap it. Darkness has found no way to bind it up. The light came into the world, and the light has overcome the darkness. The light has overwhelmed the darkness. The light has conquered the darkness. The light of the world has come, and he has shined his light, and the darkness hasn't figured out a way to contain the light. That's a good place for you to say amen right there. God sent the light so that you and I would no longer have to live in darkness. And it is through his light that we gain our sight. It is through the light of the world that we gain our sight in this world. And he came to give sight to the blind. Jesus is your aha moment. And maybe you had that aha moment months ago or years ago or maybe even decades ago. Your first aha moment with Jesus when the light bulb went off, when the light shined into your life and you realized, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I've got a whole history of mistakes and a whole history of flaws, and I need Jesus to come in and to cleanse me and to forgive me of all of my sin. It was an aha moment that you realized that Jesus was sent to bridge the gap between heaven and earth, that there was no way you could get to the Father without him. It was an aha moment when you realized that you were a sinner and you were in desperate need of a Savior. But you know what? There's other aha moments that come after that one. It's the aha moment when you realize that you're selfish. The aha moment when you realize you're greedy. The aha moment when you realize that you're jealous. The aha moment when you realize that I'm stubborn, I'm proud, I'm critical. When the light of Jesus shines into areas of your life, maybe that you didn't really sign up for it to shine in. When the light of Jesus comes into your heart and it begins to shine into every corner and every crevice and it begins to reveal some things that you don't even want to admit to yourself. Let me tell you, the light of the world, the light of that moment, the aha moment can sometimes be painful. But a life without the aha moment is dreadful. A life without the experience of the light of God, it's a dreadful life. And let me tell you, I would rather embrace the pain of the light shining in my heart than live my life without the light shining. I would rather experience the pain of that moment than the dread of every moment living without the light that came to rescue me from the darkness. Jesus said there in John 8:12, he said, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. This isn't a one-time event. This is not a one-time decision. This says, if you will follow me every day, you will not have to walk in darkness. He said in verse 1246, he said, all who put their trust in me, they will no longer remain in the dark. That means every day you choose to put your trust in the King of Kings. You put your trust in the Lord of Lords. You put your trust in the Savior. You put your trust in Jesus. And every day that you put your trust in him and every day you sign up to follow him, you don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to live in confusion. You don't have to live stressed out and perplexed. And you don't have to live blind, because the light of God is shining in your life. And sure, Jesus came to open our eyes to the reality that you needed a Savior. Sure, Jesus came to open your eyes to the fact that you were a sinner, that you were hopeless without the grace and the mercy of God. Sure, that's what Jesus came for. But you see, I believe that Jesus came for you to see a lot more than just that. I believe that is only the first aha moment, but I believe that Jesus came to shine his light into a lot of areas of our life because he wants us to see. He said, I came to proclaim the recovery of sight for the blind. And maybe there are areas in your life where you have been blind, but Jesus said, I am bringing the light so that you can see, so that you don't have to remain a prisoner to darkness anymore, so that you don't have to live in confusion and frustration, so that you don't have to live perplexed and upset. I came so that I could shine my light into every area of your life because there's some things that I want you to see. This morning I want to share just three things briefly with you that I believe Jesus wants you to see. Three things Jesus wants you to see. And the first is this. Jesus wants you to see pitfalls. He wants you to see pitfalls. We see in 2 Timothy, the Bible mentions that the devil sets a trap for the believers. We see in the book of Psalms over and over again that evildoers have set traps for the followers of God as well. And this is why it's so important for us to understand that if you are free but you can't see, you will always fall into another trap. It's not enough just for you to be free. It's not enough for you just to experience freedom and walk out. You have to be free and you have to see so that you don't walk into the next trap, so you don't walk into the next bondage, so you don't walk into the next prison, so you don't walk into the next deception, so you don't walk into the next pitfall in your life. You've got to see. And Jesus tells us very clearly in John 10, that the thief's purpose, the enemy's purpose, he has come so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. And in Luke chapter 4, in the beginning of Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus being tempted by Satan. Satan shows up to tempt Jesus. And let me just say this, if Satan showed up to tempt Jesus, then Satan will definitely show up to tempt you. It doesn't matter how much you read your word, Jesus was the word, and Satan showed up to tempt him. It doesn't matter how much you pray to God, Jesus was God, and Satan still showed up to tempt him. So you need to know that Satan is coming to tempt you as well. And there were three temptations, and Jesus overcame all of those temptations. He says, get out of here, Satan. And this is what the Bible says in verse 13 of Luke 4. It says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. He left him until the next opportunity presented itself. And what you need to know is after you overcome temptation and after you overcome sin and after you have a victory over something in your life and you feel really good about it, you just need to know that that's not the only trap that you're going to have to overcome. That's not the only pitfall in your journey. Satan is just waiting for the next opportunity. He's looking for the next moment. He is positioning himself so that the next time you get to that phase and that stage of life, there will be another pitfall in your way, because if he showed up again for Jesus, guess what? He's going to show up again for you. And maybe it will be a trap that's set to steal your joy and your peace. Maybe Satan will set a trap to kill your purpose and your destiny. Maybe the enemy will show up and will use some evildoers so that they can set a trap for you that will destroy your faith and your peace. You see, throughout the Gospels, we see the Pharisees consistently trying to trap Jesus. They were always trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. They were always trying to position and to trap him, to corner him into giving them a response that they could take to the religious authorities and that would kill Jesus. They were always trying to trap him. But you see, in one moment, it goes from the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus. The enemy uses Simon Peter as a pitfall. Because Jesus was telling the disciples, he said, it's about to get bad. I'm about to be beaten. I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be hit. I'm going to be crucified on a cross. They're going to put me in the grave. He says, but don't worry. I'm coming up out of that grave after 3 days. But Peter didn't like the way that sounded. And Peter took Jesus to the side. And he said, this is never going to happen. What is this foolishness that you speak of? Over my dead body is anybody coming and going to treat you this way? This is what Jesus responded to Simon Peter. In Matthew 16, 23, it said, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." He said, "You are a dangerous trap for me." And if it was a dangerous trap for Jesus, let me tell you, it is a dangerous trap for us when we begin to see things through the human point of view and not from God's perspective. It is a dangerous trap when you fall into the pitfall of personal perspective. It's a dangerous trap when you only see life through your perspective, when you only see future through your own point of view. You see, Jesus wants you to see beyond what you see. Jesus wants you to see more than what you see, because your natural eyes will miss supernatural opportunities. And Jesus said, "I want you to see beyond what is in front of you. I want you to see beyond what you are hearing right now." You see, you can't always live by what you see, and you can't always live by the perspective that you've taken away from your parents or from your teachers, or even your own perspective that has been created over your life. You cannot live by that, because that is the human point of view. But instead, you must understand that God has a way of seeing things, that God has a perspective. And the only way that you can find God's perspective and point of view is whenever you read the Word. It's in the Word that you find out how God thinks. It's in the Bible that you find out the patterns of God. It's in the Word of God. That's why you have to read the Bible. Not so you can check it off and say, "Oh, I'm a good person today." Not so you can feel good about yourself and pat yourself on the back because you did the verse of the day. No, no, no. You've got to read the Word of God, because there comes a moment when a trap is set before you. And the only way you're going to know that's a dangerous trap is when you've learned how to think like God and be like God and know God. And you say, "That is a dangerous trap, and I'm not going to walk into it, because I'm sick through God's perspective." It's a dangerous trap, a dangerous thing for us to only see with our own perspective, our own point of view. And whenever we do that, we get trapped by our own logic. It's a terrible thing to be trapped by your own logic. It's a terrible thing to be trapped by your own experiences. It's a terrible thing to be trapped by your own point of view and your own perspective. You see, it is a dangerous trap. Hear me this morning. Your logic lead you to guilt. His perspective leads you to grace. Your logic leads you to see problems. His perspective leads you to his promises. Your logic leads you to being overwhelmed. His perspective leads you to overcome. And so we can't find ourselves living with our point of view and living life in our perspective, because we will always miss the opportunities that are in front of us. But whenever you begin to think like God and to live like God and to act like God, whenever you know the Word of God and you say, "I see this dangerous trap, I see this pitfall, and I'm not going to fall into it." Why? Because the light of God is shining in my life. The light of God is showing me I can't walk that way. I can't think that way. I don't care that that's the way my parents thought. I don't care that's the way my third grade teacher told me. I don't care that that's what my football coach told me to do. I don't care about any of that, because that is a human perspective and it creates a dangerous trap for me. And I'm not going to fall into that trap. Instead, I'm going to live by the viewpoint of God. See, the light shines into your life so that you can see and avoid the pitfalls set in front of you. But here's the second thing that Jesus wants you to see. Not only does he want you to see the pitfalls, Jesus wants you to see power. Jesus wants you to see his power. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 18, says this: "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart would see more than they've ever seen. I pray that the eyes of your heart would hear more and know more than they have ever heard or known before, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and this, I pray the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you could know his incomparably great power for us who believe." There is incomparable great power for us who believe. And you say, what is this power that's available? What is this power that's available for the believers? Well, he answers that question. He says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. A couple months ago, I experienced a power that I had never experienced before. Destiny wanted to change out the light fixture in our dining room. If you've come here any length of time, you know that I am not a handyman by any stretch of the imagination. But this was a big light fixture, and normally she does all of those kind of things around the house. She hangs every picture, screws in every screw. That's the way she does it. And I just sit back and clap for her. But this time it was too heavy. And so we had an electrician come out to do it. But he said, no, you've got the wrong size. But it's really easy. I'll show you what to do. And so he was kind of walking me through it. And I was just kind of doing the macho man thing. Like, oh, yeah, okay, I got that. Yeah, the red wire, the green wire, the blue. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, just put that cap. Yeah, sure, okay, no problem. I thought it can't be that hard. So we went out, got the necessary parts, and we got back there. And so I'm up there on the ladder, which is already a place that I never am. And so I'm standing on the ladder, and I'm holding this big light fixture, and I'm trying to, you know, get everything connected, all the wires, and I get the caps on, and then I have an idea. You know what? Before we screw this thing up there into the wall, let's just make sure the light comes on, you know, before we go through. So I said, go over there and turn the light switch on, and they turn the light switch on, and nothing happens. No light. I said, oh, man. I said, maybe it's the light bulb, you know, and so we get another light bulb, and we come out and change the light bulb. Nothing happens. And so I'm like, oh, man. So we take everything down. And little I didn't know this, but somebody had left the light switch on. And so we got over there, and we were trying to fix it all and get it ready. And I climbed back up that ladder. And when I climbed up that ladder and I reached for those three wires that were hanging down, I experienced a power that I had never experienced before in my life. I mean, there was a flow of electricity down my arm. My arm was just flopping around. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, Destiny, call the hospital. You know, I didn't know. I thought it might just fall off. It was just there, you know. And I was like, oh God, it took me 3 days to recover from that. But it's okay, I survived. Now, I had always known that electricity was flowing out of that into the light. I had always known that. But when I touched those wires, my eyes were enlightened. I saw something that I had never seen before. I knew something that I had never known before. And you see, I believe that God wants you to have a personal encounter with his immeasurably, incomparable, great power. You see, it's not enough just for you to know that it exists. He wants you to have a personal encounter with this power. He wants you to have a dynamic personal experience with the power that is available. Why? Because you need this power. When you're facing trouble in your marriage, you need this power. When you're facing adversity in your business, you need this power. When you're facing sickness in your body or difficulty in your finances, you need this power. When you're having trials with your children, and depression in your emotions, and facing temptations in your flesh, and facing the storms of life in your faith journey, you need to know that this power exists, and you need to have had a personal experience with the power of Almighty God. You need this power. And you know what else you need to know? You need to know that the same power that raised Christ from the tomb is the same power that's going to raise you up out of your doom and your gloom. You need to know that it is no secondary power. You need to know that it's no substitutionary power. You need to know that the same power that entered that grave 2,000 years ago and pulled Jesus up out of death is the same power that's going to enter into your body and pull you up out of your situation, pull you up out of your depression, pull you up out of your bondage. It's the same power. And you need to know that. You need to know it's the same power. And that power is not just available for the preacher. Paul says it's available for the believer. It's available for everyone who believes. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, he says this about the kingdom of God. He says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. The kingdom of God is not rhetoric. The kingdom of God is not rules. The kingdom of God is living by the power of God. You see, the kingdom of God isn't based on this idea of be the best you can be. Live the best you can live. Try the hardest you can try. That's not the kingdom of God, because that is limited. That's limited to your experience. That's limited to your own strength. That's limited to your own wisdom. And the kingdom of God can never be limited. That's why he says it's not a bunch of talk. The kingdom of God is living by God's power. The kingdom of God is daily grabbing on to the power of God so that you can overcome your fears, so you can silence your insecurities, so you can triumph over your sin and addiction, and so you can share the good news with all of those who need to hear it. That is the kingdom of God, and it is the power of God that enables those things to happen. I love 2 Peter. I've been so blessed by this all week long. 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, it says this: by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That means it doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter your past experiences. It doesn't matter how many DUIs are on your record. It doesn't matter how many felonies you've committed. It doesn't matter how many times you've been divorced. It doesn't matter that you were raised by your grandparents. It doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter what your addiction was. It doesn't matter, because there is a divine power, and God has given you everything you need through that power to live a godly life. And listen to this. It says we have received all of this by coming to know him. We have received this power not because we qualified for it, not because we went to school to get it. We received this power by being in relationship with him. By being in relationship, we have received divine power by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. That means that he called you to join the family. He called you to be with him. You didn't just show up one day and knock on heaven's door and God's surprised because he wasn't planning on a visitor. He didn't have a plan for you. No, that wasn't it at all. You came because he called you. You came because he reached for you. You were the one that was invited into relationship. And when he invited you into relationship, he gave you a promise. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. It says that right here in the next verse. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. You get to share in his divine nature because he gave you a promise that says, I've got power that will make you and power that will take you. I've got power that will take you places you never thought you would go. I've got power that will allow you to overcome things that you never thought you were overcome. I've got divine power on the inside of me, and I've got a promise with you that I will give it to you so you can live a godly life. He says, not only the promise to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. He says, when I give you this power, you won't be subjected to the old man anymore. You won't be subjected to old habits anymore, because there is a power that I'm giving you that breaks the curse of sin. There's a power that I'm giving you that would say you don't have to live like you used to live. You don't have to live with those fears anymore. You don't have to live with those doubts anymore. You don't have to live with that confusion anymore, because there's a power that I'm giving you that will give you a divine nature. I mean, and if that wasn't enough, then he gets to verse 5. And he says, in view of all of this, in view of this divine power, in view of these precious promises, in view of this divine nature that God wants to give you, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. You see, what I believe that it's saying here is that we lose perspective of the light, because when the light comes to shine in your life and you understand that not only did he forgive your sins, not only has he wiped the record of your past clean by his blood, but he can also empower you to walk clean in the future, to walk free into the future, to walk called into the future. If he had the power to forgive your past, don't you think that he can give you the power to walk boldly and courageously and free into your future? Don't you think that he can empower you to put some moral excellence in your life? Don't you think that he can empower you to put some patient endurance in your life? Don't you think that he can empower you to put some godliness in your life and some brotherly affection and some love? He can empower you to put these things in your life. And if we cannot see that, then we're blind. But the good news is Jesus said, I came for the recovery of sight for the blind, so that you could see there is a power. You don't have godliness in your life, there's a power that you're missing. You don't have moral excellence in your life, there's a power that you've been missing. You don't have love for everyone, there's a power that you've been missing. You don't have brotherly affection, there's a power that you've been missing. And I have come to shine my light into your life to let you know that there is a divine power and a divine nature that is available to you. God has come to shine his light so that we would know there is power available to everyone that believes. We don't have to be blind anymore, short-sighted. We can see. Here's the third thing that Jesus wants you to see. That not only does he want you to see the pitfalls, not only does he want you to see power, but I believe that Jesus also wants you to see his presence. He wants you to see his presence. You know, you need a little Matthew 28 promise when a John 16 problem shows up in your life. You need a little Matthew 28 guarantee whenever the trial of John 16 shows up in your life. Because Matthew 28, 20 tells us this, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Be sure of this. There's one thing you can take to the bank. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And you need that promise whenever you step into a John 16 situation and Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have difficulty. In this world you will have adversity. In this world you will have trials. In this world you will face opposition. But Jesus says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. You see, whenever I step into a storm, I need to know that the one who has overcome the world is standing by my side. When I step into difficulty, I need to know that the one who has all power and all authority is standing right by my side. When I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I need to know for sure that the one who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave is standing right by my side. I need to know that his presence is with me. One night, the disciples found themselves in a storm. They were in a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And on this night, Jesus wasn't in the boat with them. The Bible says a storm rose up and the wind was against them, and the waves were so high that the waves began to crash into the boat. They were getting to a place that they were almost hopeless. They felt like it was the end. They were too far from land to turn back. They were out in the middle and they were stuck and they were feeling like they were about to die. And then they see an image walking on the water. And they're so afraid. Now, let me just make some things clear. There are no lights on this boat. There is no battery power generators on this boat. There is no fog lights shining in the distance. And it was in the middle of a storm, so I just have to think that the sky was blanketed with clouds, that there was no moonlight or starlight on this night, but yet they see something coming in the distance. So I just have to believe that Jesus was walking with the heavenly glow. I just have to believe that he was walking as the light, because they were terrified and they said, "It's a ghost. It's a ghost." And Jesus calls out and he says, "No, take courage. It is I. It's me. It's the light of the world who's coming into your situation. It's the light of the world who's coming into your trouble. It's the light of the world who's coming into your difficulty. It's the light of the world who's coming to your rescue. I am the light of the world, and I'm coming out here to shine into your darkness to let you know that I am good on my promise. I am here and I am with you." And then Peter hollers out and he says, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out there with you." And Jesus says, "Well, come on out." The Bible says that Peter stepped over the side of the boat and he began to walk on water. But somewhere from the boat to Jesus, the Bible tells us that he looked up and he saw the winds and the waves, and doubt filled his heart and fear filled his soul, and he began to sink into the water. And as he was sinking into the depths of the water, a hand plunged down into the water and grabbed his hand and pulled him back up to safety. And that must be what David was talking about in Psalm 27 when he said, "The Lord is my light." But not only is he my light, he is my salvation. He comes into my predicament and he steps into my storm and he steps into my adversity and he brings the light of hope and he brings the light of grace. But not only is he my light, because whenever I find myself sinking and when I find myself stumbling and when I find myself being overwhelmed by life, I've always found a hand reaching down from heaven. And so my testimony is not that he's just my light, because that's not enough. He is also my salvation. He is the one who is pulling me up into my life. And I just need you to know this morning, I need you to know this morning that Jesus is showing up in your life. He is the light, but he is also your salvation. He is reaching for you. He is reaching for you. He is reaching for you. And it's all because of amazing grace this morning. Come on, lift your hands towards heaven and let's begin to worship and let's begin to sing.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.